Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Making Inspired Choices with Coach Linda. I am your host, Linda Stevens-Jones, and I'm excited that we're having our second broadcast today. Happy Thanksgiving to each of you, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen in today. We had a really good number of listeners for the first show, so I greatly appreciate and need the support you're giving to this broadcast. A heartfelt thank you. My guest today is someone you'll be glad you tuned in for, Brother Laurent Pester. I'm excited about the discussion we'll be having shortly. Stay with us for the whole interview. I believe you will walk away inspired. For those of you who missed the first broadcast, I'm a Christian life coach, and I help persons one-on-one and in small groups using a faith-based approach to uncover and reach their true potential, thought-provoking questions that help them to reconnect and in some cases connect for the first time with what they have buried inside of them, their spiritual gifts, their strengths, their dreams and passions in life. And let me add, no matter what a person's age, occupation, or stage in life, believe me, we all have dreams and passions, even though for some of us they may be locked away deep inside. After the clients uncover what's inside, I help them to see new possibilities. They get clarity on the direction they want to take, and from there, we build a plan to move them forward. Throughout the coaching relationship, we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And with the Christian coaching process, I've had clients to actually transform their lives. Stay on the line with us today, and if you have any questions about coaching, please call in at the end of the show, or you can reach out to me later. All right? I want to remind everyone what this show is designed to be. Making Inspired Choices. This hour, it is a time and place where you can belong. It will be a community where you can join in with no mask, no pretense, because you will not be judged here. You can listen, relate to the discussion, maybe ask yourself some of the same questions I'm asking my guests. And when the broadcast ends, I want you to feel encouraged and cared about. I also hope you will make some new discoveries about yourself. Ultimately, I want this time to lead to your making some inspired choices in whatever area of your life that you need to. And I want you to grow in faith along the way as you listen, call in with your questions or your comments. Everybody got the idea? Okay, I can see you nodding yes out there. Last week, I mentioned I would be sharing more about myself as we go along, and I've already gotten some feedback to share more about my core values. So today, I want to talk about a couple of them in terms of what they mean to me and how I apply them in my life. I'll start first with my value of active faith in Jesus Christ. Christ is my center, so that is value number one. And then second, I'll say a little bit about my value of lifelong learning. First, what do I mean by an active faith in Jesus Christ? The operative word here is active. I strive to live in a way that I act on what the Word of God tells me to do as a believer. For example, the Bible tells us to pray. I believe in the power of prayer, and when I need direction, which is every day, or when I know of something going on in someone else's life, or when I'm asked to pray, I take it seriously. I receive specific direction on what steps to take in my life when I pray. And I've also witnessed great outcomes when I, along with many others, have interceded in prayer on others' behalf. Sometimes the outcomes are beyond what you could hope for. And no, the outcome is not always what I seek. But when I pray, I am practicing active faith in Jesus Christ by taking the concrete action of praying. Does that make sense? Okay. Another value I hold is lifelong learning. I don't remember when, but at some point years and years ago, I made a commitment to keep growing and not to become stagnant in my life. When I think back over the years of living in and traveling to different parts of the world with my previous work, I always enjoyed exposure to new environments and trying new things. I embrace learning because it's stimulating and it keeps me growing. My best example of applying that value in my life right now is doing this radio broadcast. I had no previous radio experience. But when the opportunity was presented, I felt prompted, I'm sure by the Holy Spirit, to use this platform to connect with you. And I also get to use my gift as an encourager. So here we are. That's a bit more about a couple of my core values, and I'll be telling you more in the upcoming broadcast. I hope you're thinking to yourself right now, what are the core values I live by? Okay, so now for the special segment of today's show. It is time to introduce my very special guest. It is an honor to introduce and welcome Brother Lawrence Hester. He is known to everyone I know as either Larry or Deacon Hester. I like to call him Deacon Hester. Larry grew up in North Carolina, and he and his wife, Cherry, had lived in Springfield, Virginia, since 1989. From 1989 to the present, he has faithfully served as chairman of the Deaconess Ministry at Antioch Baptist Church in Fairfax Station, Virginia. There we worship together, so I can personally attest to his being at the very center of our church's caring for its members. He is an Army veteran with over 21 years of honorable service in the Air Defense Artillery Branch, which included a tour in Vietnam in 1971 to 72. He taught mathematics in Fairfax County Public Schools and was also a very well-known and highly regarded entrepreneur, selling sports memorabilia through his shortstop baseball card shop at both the Springfield and Potomac Mills malls between 1991 and 2011. Larry is an exemplary leader. He's both a visionary and a nuts and bolts kind of person. A people person who loves the Lord, his family, and his extended family and friends. His walk through life's challenges have been witnessed by many and have left many inspired. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome Deacon Larry Hester. Thank you so much for joining me and the listeners this afternoon.
So, Linda, thank you for the opportunity to share today, and I look forward to encouraging others, hopefully, and to publicly acknowledge God's grace, His mercy, and his great favor that he's shown me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Today you are helping with the vision to grow a community here, one that gives hope and encouragement, and I hope even challenges listeners to make the kind of choices that can move their lives forward. So let's jump right in. Tell us a little more about yourself. I've gone over a little bit of your bio, but tell us some of your background and what you're doing today.
Well, my background, as you mentioned, covers a few areas, but let me say right now that the thing that encourages me most and takes up my time now is serving God's people. That's what I enjoy. That's what I've been blessed to do, and that's what I look forward to doing in the future.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, when I look at you, I see you regularly, but even some of the people who know you, when they see people who are blessed and put together, whose lives have many accomplishments like yourself, if they don't know you, they may not be able to imagine that you too have had low points or times of difficulty or great challenge in your life. But we've all had those times, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd like to ask guests to share some of their challenging times because usually we can all learn something. Would you be willing to share a season of your life when you felt particularly challenged?
Well, let me just say this, Linda. My life has been a lifetime of challenges. Let me just start by saying my first 3 months of life, I spent in Duke University Hospital where I was diagnosed with the deadly disease of diphtheria. But through much prayer and good medical care, God blessed me through that. But again, a lifetime of challenges, growing up poor, but not recognizing and not even knowing that I was poor. Going to college, being in high school, good student, good grades, but didn't see how I could afford financially to attend college. But God opened that door also. Entering the military, not necessarily a fond of the military, but I saw it as a career path, and I entered Air Defense Artillery in the U.S. Army. And during a time when there were very few black officers in that particular branch. But we survived that. Leaving the military, starting my own business, being an entrepreneur, finding financial support, that was a challenge. Teaching high school, where I wasn't accepted as a team member, that was a challenge. However, through all of that, I really found my niche in the church. I was a late bloomer, accepted Christ at the age of 31 in 1977, was not committed to serve in the church at that particular time because I didn't think I had anything to offer. But moving into the Northern Virginia area, becoming a member of the Antioch Baptist Church, being convinced by our founding pastor that he thought I had something to offer. And I must say, looking back, the most enjoyable and most rewarding aspect of all the challenges in my life has been serving God's people and serving Antioch Baptist Church.
Thank you. Wow. Well, there are so many times of challenge that you noted. When you think about some of the most challenging times, what do you remember feeling?
Well, during those most challenging times, I really felt that I had an obligation to do well. It was expected by my parents that we would do well,
mm-hmm.
and so that kind of drove me in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was out there by myself because in those early years, I didn't have God in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But praise God, He saw fit through His grace and mercy to allow me the time to get to know Him and to establish a relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, do you ever remember getting to a point where you may have doubted your ability to keep going, or where you really felt uncertain about how to keep going forward?
No, I've never been at a point where I didn't feel that I could continue.
Okay.
Sometimes there were struggles,
mm-hmm.
but my competitiveness has always driven me to put forth my best, put my best foot forward,
mm-hmm.
and to strive to do my best, and that's always been an attribute of mine.
Okay. So you had that sense of competitiveness that kept you moving forward.
Always.
Okay.
Always.
Okay. Through your time in the military.
Through the time in the military, it was extremely competitive. And again, I mentioned that in the Air Defense Artillery branch of the United States Army, at the time that I entered, there were very few black officers.
Mm-hmm.
Air Defense Artillery was a fairly new branch split off from the Field Artillery branch.
Mm-hmm.
And acceptance wasn't readily there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a matter of proving yourself. But again, my competitive nature got me through that.
What's an example of an occasion where your competitive nature got you through, if you can?
Well,
it comes to mind.
One of my positions in air defense was as a battalion executive officer.
Okay.
My brigade commander asked my unit to participate in what is called the Connolly Award.
Mm-hmm.
The Connolly Award is presented to those units in the military who compete in the establishing and running mess facilities in deployed situations.
Okay.
These competitions were judged, and Under Secretary of the Army chose to visit the competition that my unit was engaged in at Fort Bliss, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He flew in, and I had came up with the idea of putting my entire field ration mess facility underground. He flew over several times to locate my position. They could not find it. We had to pop smoke for him to locate it. He came down. We won the Connolly Award. Probably 10 years later, I met Mr. Ambrose in the Pentagon, and he says, "I know you from somewhere." He said, "The desert." And so he remembered that. That was one of the competitive events that I encountered.
That was a shrewd move on his part.
Yes.
Awesome. Where did you go to college?
I attended North Carolina A&T State University.
Okay.
Aggie Brady.
Okay. I know we want to get that in. Well, in the college years, if you think back, were there times there where you felt any uncertainty, or how do you keep going, or did your competitiveness keep you moving forward there as well?
No, the college, I must say, I was a good student, very good student in high school. Did put my best foot forward in college, but got by. But I was a mathematics major, and the blessing there was that I was able to matriculate through A&T, and everything worked out well.
Okay. I want to ask you for a moment, as you think back over the years, over your experiences and your careers, do you remember anything being shared with you, you know, whether by family or mentors or anyone, a particular strategy or a life lesson that made a significant difference in how you handle challenges?
Yes, I had a mentor upon returning from Vietnam. His name was Lieutenant Colonel Larry Hunsinger.
Okay.
Returning from Vietnam, having a bad experience there, having experienced some losses of soldiers there, I returned from Vietnam a very hostile individual, to the point I had made the decision not to pursue a military career. My plan was to exit the military. I was very hostile because of the circumstances I encountered in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Colonel Larry Hunsinger saw something in me, and he called me in one day and said, why are you so hostile? Why are you so angry? You have so much potential. And he promised me a command if I could bring my hostility under control. I was then a very junior captain, and there were senior captains who were standing in line for command. I did do better. He kept his promise, and he gave me a command that really kind of rejuvenated my military career and got me on another path that ended in a fairly rewarding military career.
Wow, fantastic. So he, kind of the strategy or the lesson was to face or deal with something or to let go of the hostility?
Exactly. I was holding on to things that were no longer relevant to me, but had not let go. He saw this, but he saw the potential, and he encouraged me to put forth my best, but let go of those things that I could no longer control, and to strive to, for the best. And having someone to, at that time in the military, to believe in me and show that kind of interest, I hadn't seen before. And so it was a spark that put me in the right direction for a successful military career.
Fantastic. A real turning point at that
point. Wonderful turning point.
Well, I like to ask, what role has faith played in your life if you just think back from the point at which you became a man of faith? You said in your early 30s, I think. What role would you say faith has played from that point up until now?
Well, let me just say that faith has been very, very instrumental in my life. It did not start that way. I grew up going to church with my grandmother. I didn't understand church because I wasn't taught.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught the songs. I was not taught scripture
mm-hmm.
where it had any impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
I went there and I went to church. I went home.
Mm-hmm.
However, I knew of God, but nothing personal about God.
Mm-hmm.
It is only through the encouragement of my wife, trailing her to church during our military career. There was actually something to check off,
mm-hmm.
Something to we did as a family, but no real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was only after a situation, a medical situation with my daughter, did I commit my life to Christ in my basement, asking God to deliver my daughter from this situation, this disease, seizures that she was encountering.
Mm-hmm.
And I promised him that I would devote my life to him if he did that. He stood on his word. He healed my daughter. She's a blessing today with two blessed boys, the grandsons. I have never yielded since that commitment. I have, again, blessed in 84 to move into the Northern Virginia area
mm-hmm.
where I encountered Reverend John Q. Gibbs, who established the Antioch Baptist Church, and again, have committed my life to service in that church since that point.
Okay. So quite a integral part of your life from the time you made the commitment.
Absolutely.
To walk in faith. Mm. When you, sitting here today, looking back at where you were in some of the circumstances, some of the challenges you have faced, when you're looking back from where you are today, what comes to mind?
Well, the most challenging thing that I've encountered personally has been within the last 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was diagnosed with colon cancer through a routine colonoscopy in April of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I stood in front of the doctor who told us that he had discovered a tumor that could be cancerous. We looked at each other. We didn't panic. In fact, there was a peace that was between us and over us that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
The tumor was cancerous. We went through colon cancer surgery within a few months of the discovery. The surgery resection was successful. We followed that up with several rounds of chemotherapy
mm-hmm.
without any real debilitation. However, after the chemotherapy, the cancer metastasized to my liver as well as my lung, which resulted in 6 liver surgeries or procedures, a radiation procedure at Johns Hopkins University. Again, the liver resection, which thank God it grew back very quickly. So that challenge of facing cancer have been dealing with the chemotherapy and other treatments was a real, real challenge. In the past year and a half, during this particular struggle, I also lost my mother passed away, my brother passed away, and within the last year, my sister also passed away. Mm-hmm. So these were very, very challenging times. Mm-hmm. However, the difference was and is the strong relationship that I had with Christ during this particular time, and the growth that I had achieved in serving God's people during this particular time. Because the issue was this. I had strong faith, and never once did I doubt God would intervene in my situation. Not one time did Carrie and I doubt that things would not be okay. And we're still standing on that today. But one of the things that was so prevalent for me was that having spent 23-plus years at that time when doing this discovery, 23 years as chairman of the deacon ministry of the Antioch Baptist Church, I recognized that people, members of our church, family and friends, would look at Deacon Hester and ask, can he walk the walk? Mm-hmm. They had seen me praying for others, mm-hmm. Doing for others, but now, can he walk this walk that he's been talking about all these years? God has blessed me to withstand the challenges. He has blessed me to continue to walk the walk, and I pray that this walk has been a source of encouragement to others who find themselves in similar situations or more dire situations, that you can walk the walk, you can talk the talk, but you must put your trust and faith in God.
Wow. I would say, listeners, you know, what Deacon Hester is sharing here as a member at the same church, I watched and witnessed and marveled and was greatly moved and inspired by how he kept going. It's one of the reasons I wanted him to be a guest to be able to share some of his story with you all. Sunday after Sunday, Deacon Hester, even in the midst of these treatments and everything, he kept showing up and he kept being a source of encouragement to others. Were you, when you were encouraging others feel like you had always done, were you getting encouragement for yourself from that?
Helping others, redirecting situations from yourself and concentrating on others is therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. And in addition, I found this word in Psalms 34:19 that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. So that spoke to my heart to let me know that I'm not exempt mm-hmm. from life challenges. No one's exempt from life challenges. Mm-hmm. But the end of that verse says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So that's where I place my trust, my belief, my very thoughts, and that has become a daily part of my scripture reading and recitation every day.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, we look at the word that says to wait patiently on the Lord. That is an area that I had to grow the most.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting patiently when you're going through life situations is tough.
Yes.
It's easy for Deacon Hester to suggest to someone to wait patiently on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But in those midnight hours, in those times when you're hospitalized there by yourself, when you're hurting, when things don't look dire,
mm-hmm.
waiting patiently is real tough. But the Word tells us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a directive.
Mm-hmm.
We should do it. And when we do it, looking back, we see that good plan, God's plan.
You are a living testament to that scripture being fulfilled, aren't you?
Amen.
I deeply appreciate your just being so open and transparent here, and I know it's giving someone listening a lot to think about in their own lives. From someone out there who is saying, I can relate to what you went through, but I'm not sure where to begin to strengthen my faith walk, or I'm not sure how to start a relationship with Christ, what would you say to them?
Well, my first piece of advice would be you have to read the Word.
Okay.
You have to desire, be knowledgeable of the Word, and to recognize it's there for you. In addition to that, I strongly believe that a commitment to Christ, a commitment to a relationship with Christ is uttermost.
Mm-hmm.
Once you commit yourself to a relationship with Christ, He will certainly make it known to you what His desires are for you. Then it's a matter of then making yourself available. Availability is key. In addition, you giving of yourself to others is extremely, extremely therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
Try it. You'll see that removing self and putting others first is really talking about faith. Faith being the substance of things that we hope for.
Yeah.
And the evidence of things that we don't even see.
Yes. Cool. Wow, you just laid out a real prescription there. For people to first go to the Word, to read the Word for themselves.
Yes.
Having a desire to know the Word.
Yes.
Committing to a relationship with Christ. I love that.
Yes.
Because there is something hard to describe about a personal relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That He will make known His desires for you.
That's right.
And then making yourself available.
Absolutely.
This is quite a prescription, listeners. Thank you, Deacon Hester, just for how you've let your heart and your character be seen here today. To our listeners, I hope you've been moved by what we've talked about so far. I mean, life lessons and triumphs over challenges, such as the ones Deacon Hester has shared, are worth reflecting upon for your own takeaways. So here are a few questions for you, listeners. What resonated the most with you? What did you discover about yourself as you listened? What do you focus on when your problems and challenges have no quick answers? Like Deacon Hester said, waiting patiently on the Lord is difficult, but it's worth the wait. And then my last question is, what is one step you can take today that would move you in the direction that you want to go? What is one step that you can take today that would move you in the direction that you want to go? So at this time, Deacon Hester and I want to hear your thoughts about these questions or anything you've heard during the broadcast today. He has given you a lot to chew on. It's time for you to call in with your comments or your questions. We'd love to hear from you. To join us, 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. Remember, there's no judgment. We just want to hear from you, anything you'd like to share with us. As we wait for any callers, Deacon Hester, with this being the week of Thanksgiving, what is most on your heart at this time?
Well, during this season of Thanksgiving, I must say that the reflection of my family comes to the mind immediately, and my losses. My family's losses. And, of course, we all tend to experience these feelings during this time of the year.
Yes, we do.
So we encourage all to, even during these happy seasons, when we do sometimes get depressed or have those forlorn times, to again pray, trust God, and just expect God to deliver us from these doldrums that we find ourselves in.
Absolutely.
In addition to that, I concentrate on this new word that I picked up. It's not this new in my usage, but very prevalent in the Bible, and that is God's favor.
Mm-hmm.
I seek God's favor every day. That's that is so important to me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let me ask this, as hopefully we're going to hear from some of our listeners, but moving forward, after all that you've been through, what do you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you to do?
Well, God has placed on my heart the desire to establish what we are calling a cancer exchange ministry within our church. We currently have a breast cancer awareness ministry, but as we're all aware, there are a number of cancers there and other diseases affecting people. So God has placed on my heart, and we've sought and gotten pastor's approval to establish a cancer exchange ministry, which will be a two-way dialogue to exchange cancer-related information as a way of encouraging patients, caregivers, family, and friends. We look forward to kicking this off in February of 2016. And again, I think will be a blessing to members not only going through cancer but other life situations.
It sounds absolutely amazing. Very, very much needed, and I pray that it will really be a blessing for participants.
Amen.
Let's see. We have a caller who's joining us. Let's see if we can get our caller on for comment. Caller, just press 1, and you will be on with us live. Caller 111.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Hello, my name is Jeff.
Yes. Jeff, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm enjoying the show. I had a question for Deacon Hester, and it's pretty much probably around the time that he served in the military and he was transitioning out, and I think he became an entrepreneur. So my particular question is, sir, when you were making that decision about leaving the military, how did you know that the entrepreneur part is what you wanted to do, in particular the sports memorabilia? Were you doing that while you're in the military? Is that something the Lord laid on your heart? Or how did you make that transition? Because at some point I'm considering transitioning from my job and I'm looking for the next thing I want to do.
Well, thank you for the question. And quite frankly, the idea of the entrepreneurship and the opening of the memorabilia store resulted in was a result of a father-son hobby that was established in the late 80s. Let me just back up and say that my decision to get out of the military, retire from the military at the time, was a family decision. I had promised my son that I would not move him out of high school again, and the decision was made that I would retire at that time. The choices for employment were there. I was teaching, but the entrepreneur idea arose, and it was a very timely one during that particular late 80s, early 90s time frame. And so the idea was to step forward, put together a business plan, be decisive in it, seek funding, and rely on God's blessing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And if I have one more question to I guess piggyback off that, when you did the initial start, was it a bumpy, long start, or everything kicked off immediately? How was that transition when you actually dove into it full time?
Well, the blessing was that it kicked off. And it hit the ground. We hit the ground running. The blessing, too, was that I was able to get the business established without borrowing funds at the time. But, again, we were blessed to have a business that was a part of a tailspin at that particular time in terms of collectability of memorabilia items. Again, I'll see it strictly as a blessing from God.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and I'm enjoying the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Do we have any other callers out there? Please feel free to join us at 646-716-9397. And press 1 after you dial in. As we wait to see if we have any other callers, let me share a couple of quick announcements on upcoming shows as we wait. Tomorrow, November 25th at 12 noon on Life Coach Radio Network, we'll be featuring a topic, how to recognize and navigate toxic relationships. So if you can tune in for that, or also coming up soon on Saturday, November 28th at 10 a.m., you can listen to Reveal Your Excellence with the on-camera coach, Coach Rena Ellison. Reveal Your Excellence with the on-camera coach, That's Saturday, November 28th at 10 a.m. Okay, we have another caller. Caller, just press 1 and you will join us live. Prefix 978. Go ahead, you're live.
Caller. Caller, just press 1 and you will join us live.
Caller, I'm sorry, we lost you. Please try to call back. 646-716-9397. And press 1 once you dial in, but be sure and mute your phone or your computer just so we don't have that feedback. Okay? I hope you can call us back. Just a little technical difficulty there. While we're waiting to see if we have any other callers, ladies out there, I have an exclusive invitation for you. If you or a woman you know is interested in the benefits of coaching, maybe you know some about coaching, but you want to explore it a little further. If you are ready to get going in the direction you want in 2016, no matter what has stopped you in the past, you can get one-on-one coaching, small group coaching, and the support of other women through my 6 Inspired Choices program, which begins in early January. The deadline for signing up is December 21st. So go to my website at www.lindystevensjones.com for information and to sign up. There you can also send me a note if you have any questions, okay? All right, we have another caller on the line. 252 area code. Go ahead, you're live.
Hello.
Hello.
Brother Hester. This is Swimson. This is Swimson. You've been one of my strong supporters. You've been one of my strong supporters through the situations that I've been going through lately, and it certainly was an inspiration to hear you today.
Thank you very much. It was very encouraging.
Yes, indeed. But,
we continue to play for you daily.
Thank you. Thank you much. And the things that you laid out today are really sort of hit home for me about directions. It seems simple, but you must take them as a person.
Yes, absolutely.
I found that very, very encouraging. And, of course, you know where I got the word that you would be appearing today.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and certainly I do know your situation personally, and I must say that watching you, observing you at our worship services, you are an inspiration to others as you are handling your particular situation. So I encourage you to keep on keeping on.
I certainly will. And so much, and thank you so much for your encouragement.
God bless you.
Thank you for calling. Okay, we have our 978 caller again. Hello, can you join us
yes,
now?
I can.
Oh, awesome. Yes, you're live.
What
go
I
wanted,
ahead. Yeah, I wanted to personally thank Larry for his steadfastness in dealing with membership with long-term issues. And so often when you have a problem, you know, it's supposed to, through prayer, be over in a matter of a short period of time. And I think the hard part is when you have to go to distance. And what I would like to say openly to Larry, I appreciate the fact the way that he's steadfast. You know, he's just mm-hmm. always saying that, okay, we just have to rethink this. We have to keep the faith. And so that's really, really important to someone that is going through something long term. And so I just wanted to openly thank Larry for that because that's not the norm.
Well, Cola, I thank you for your kind words, your comments, and I greatly appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And we have another caller, 887 area code. I'm sorry, 887 prefix. Go ahead, you're live.
Good afternoon, Coach Linda.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Deacon Hester.
Good afternoon.
I've really enjoyed this broadcast. Coach Linda, your first broadcast was great, and this is great as well. I'd like to ask Deacon Hester if he would speak a little bit to the men out there about the phrase iron sharpening iron, if you would, please.
Yes. Let me just say that we as men, over a lifetime, we may have two, possibly three other men that we feel comfortable with confiding in about situations of life.
Yeah.
I encourage men to not become reclusive during the times that they're going through struggles of life, because if they're major or minor, we have a tendency to draw back, become reclusive, try to handle things ourselves when there's a resource available, especially within the church, of other men who have gone through life situations, who are willing to share, who are willing to encourage, but we have to make ourselves available to respond to others, as well as we men must look to other men who've gone through life situations who can provide some advice, who can provide some counsel, so it doesn't hurt as much. It always helps to know that you are not in your struggle by yourself. And, of course, God's with us, but, again, God can use other men to be a source of encouragement for others. So I certainly encourage the thought of iron sharpening iron and men looking to other men for a source of encouragement.
Thank you, sir. Very inspiring. Thank you very much. And thank you, Coach Linda.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
This time has gone by so fast. We are going to still be able to take another call if someone else wants to call in just before we close. You can reach us at 646-716-9397. I can't even thank you enough, Deacon Hester, for being my guest today. Truly, I believe even for people who do not know you out there, what you shared will be helpful and it's prescriptive for, you know, for a life of more purpose and drawing closer to the Lord. But I certainly pray that what you share shared will result in someone making inspired choices in their lives. As we wind up our time today, what parting words would you like to share with our listeners?
Linda, if you don't mind, I certainly would like to share a prayer for our listeners, and specifically for those who are going through or who are battling cancer and other diseases.
Okay.
And so, Father God, I thank you for this time of sharing. I thank you, God, for granting the listeners this opportunity to listen today and hopefully be encouraged today. I thank you, God, for granting wisdom and knowledge and expertise to medical researchers, doctors, and nurses over the years to combat and treat and heal so many dreadful diseases. I'm especially grateful, Father God, of how you continue to enlighten and use medical personnel today in the treatment of various cancers. We look forward with excitement, Father God, as we move and as you move in the future when cancer and other diseases can be controlled and treated as past dreadful diseases have. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Deacon Hester, for being my guest today. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. I know there are many other places you could have spent your time today. I hope you're leaving today's broadcast uplifted and encouraged. Deacon Hester, do you want to send a shout-out to anyone before we close?
Well, I certainly would be remiss if I didn't send a shout-out to my beautiful and lovely wife, Carrie, my caretaker, my nurse, who stood by my side for all these years and continued to nurture me and our family. We love you.
Awesome. I'm going to send a shout-out to every family member and friend who has supported and encouraged and loved me to this point in my journey. You know who you are. And I also just want to say a great big thank you to God for allowing us to celebrate my mom's 92nd birthday yesterday.
Amen.
Listeners, as you prepare your Thanksgiving dinners or travel to be with family and friends, I hope that you will stay safe and that you will make the inspired choice to dwell more on your blessings than on anything else. I invite you to be a part of the next Making Inspired Choices with Coach Linda broadcast on the second Tuesday in December. That's December 8th at 12 noon, when our guests will be Jeff and Brenda Gaines, who will share their journey through challenges and triumphs. Remember to mark your calendars for 8 December right here at 12 noon. Until then, happy Thanksgiving and stay blessed.